Air.
We're live now. Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, and this is episode 3 in the My Awakening video series. So what I wanted to do is just interview... Oh, my God. Hang on. Okay, I had feedback. That's my fault. I had the YouTube open. So what I want to do is I want to interview various people in the different research communities for whatever topic it is, whether you're into 9/11, NASA, the Mandela Effect, vaccines, chemtrails, ancient cultures, whatever it is you're into looking at. It doesn't matter. I'm not here to have a point-by-point debate with somebody about this. I do that enough on my regular shows. I'm just trying to get everybody's personal story of what it was that awoken them, what they've looked at, what their interests are, how it's affected their life, stuff like that. So episode 3 here, we have Gloria tonight. Gloria, how you doing?
I'm good, Brian. How are you?
Good. This is actually my first video. Like, I've been on other videos, as you've known, but this is my first video that, like, I'm putting on my channel with me interviewing somebody. Because the other two guys that I did Paul Knight and James Sloan, and neither one was on video, so... I just think the video is much better because it kind of captures everybody's emotions a little.
And I'm happy to be your first. I haven't been somebody's first in a very long time.
So. You cracked me up. That's funny. So, okay. Now, I don't know your whole personal backstory. We're usually, talking about what we talk about more recently from the Mandela Effect and stuff. And for me, like, my awakening was 9/11. That made me research other things into all types of other topics, and it led a million different directions. For you, like, what made you kind of realize that, let's say, mainstream media and the government, you know, really couldn't be trusted and you needed to research things on your own? Or did you take another path into researching things? Like, what was it for you that was like the breaking point? All right, I have to, you know, never mind what everybody's told me about everything. I need to start digging into things.
You know, it's really weird because I remember growing up and I'm the type of person, since I was a little kid, if it didn't resonate with me, to me it was bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I remember growing up and, you know, you hear your parents have conversations about things on the news and everybody else. And I would just sit there and be like, I just never believed it, Brian. Something just didn't feel right. I mean, I'm talking a very young age. I'm talking like 5 years old, 4 years old. And I just never believed them. And as I got older, like maybe in my teenage years, I started looking for answers. I started looking for answers for everything. You know, why am I here and what is this all about and everything? And it's just led me on this fantastic adventure forever till now. And now it's great. It's just great. And, you know, you learn a lot of things doing that. You learn a lot of things, like everything that you thought you knew was bullshit.
Yeah, that's a big slap in the face, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of pissed off that I had to go to school because I wouldn't have wasted time. To me, school is just a waste of time.
Well, school is just indoctrination. It really is. A lot of the people, the more school that they go through, the deeper in the hole they are because, you know, I talk about all different topics. And, you know, let's just say somebody that is has all types of degrees in science and stuff, right? And I'm not talking about real sciences like that we can prove and experiments that you can do. Like, I'm talking about just pseudoscience that they pass on, and they are just more indoctrinated to believe it. Or even you can go, if people don't want to hear it that way, vaccines are something that more people look into. So doctors, they probably don't, most of them don't know they're doing something bad, but they're just so indoctrinated by the system. Even if you try to explain to them and you seem to be a smart person, and you try to explain something to them, they're going to go by what they learned in their books, and they're going to disagree with everything you say and throw common sense out the window. The more and more school they've gone to has actually brainwashed them more and more.
Some of them are brainwashed, and some of them have no choice.
Yeah.
Some of them have no choice. They just go with the flow. I mean, you could walk into a doctor's office, and he could hand you an antidepressant and have no clue what it's about. You know, he had a pharmaceutical guy walk in, and he bought medicine, antidepressants from him. He's giving them to his patients, and he has no clue what the side effects are. No clue about anything. They just hand them out like they're candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a huge business.
Yeah.
I mean, more than huge. It's, you know, I don't even know if it's in the billions. It's probably in the trillions of dollars of profit. You know? I mean, I don't even know how much. They make so much money, and the whole insurance companies, and they're all just a scam bouncing back and forth. It's really the person that gets screwed. It's not the insurance company or the pharmaceutical company, you know. They just put you in the middle.
Yeah, and for some reason, at a really young age, I was completely against anything, even vitamins. I didn't want anything.
Yeah.
Body. I wouldn't take Tylenol or aspirin, nothing.
That's good.
Just something about me, like something that it was like a red flag for me with all these things. I never took anything, you know. So
are you into like a lot of different alternative health type of ideas? Do you kind of do your own research on health and stuff like that? Do you eat differently than most people? Like what? No. How has that affected you at all?
No, actually, I eat what I want. Yeah. You know, I feel that nothing will harm me unless I let it harm me. You know, that's how I look at it. So I enjoy a lot of different things. And yes, I do drink Diet Coke. Okay. Medicine, I've studied a lot of Chinese medicine, which I think is really cool. But my thing, when I don't, you know, if I come down with a cold or sinus infection, I do a lot of meditation, and that really, really helps. Or I take garlic pills. And that helps because that helps like an antibiotic. So I try to stay from anything, you know, unless it's really bad and I have no choice. I'll take an antibiotic for 4 days and then that's it. But yeah.
Yeah. So how long have you been looking into the Mandela effect?
The Mandela effect started for me in 2015, in July. Actually, well, I knew what it was called in 2015, but it actually started for me, I remember, in 2003.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And the first thing was I was watching cartoons with my son, and I was like, when did they change Looney Tunes? I was like, that's kind of weird. And the weird thing about the spelling of Looney Tunes, it flip-flopped a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was watching. I was like, oh, they changed it again. Oh, they changed it again. Then there was the other one, Merry Melodies, whatever. That changed also, and then it flip-flopped again. And I just thought it was them doing it. I didn't know anything about it. But, you know, and then there were a couple of other things. I remember going to Staples and noticing the L.
That thing's crazy.
I said, when did it change? Yeah, it's supposed to look like a staple. I don't know. It doesn't
ridiculous. It looks ridiculous, doesn't it? And to think of that doesn't just go for like the Staples Center. That goes for all the Staples office stores and anything that had their logo now. It has always had that, you know? And it's like, dude, like we wouldn't have noticed that before. Like it's almost like the JFK thing. Like, so we're supposed to believe that not only we didn't notice the difference between a 4-seater and a 6-seater, which the president was shot in, but we also didn't notice that he was driving in a car that had 2 windshields when you never see a car with 2 windshields. Like we would have remembered that. Like, come on. We're not that stupid.
I've watched that documentary so many times.
Which
so
one? Zapruder film?
The one where he gets shot and she grabs his head. Yeah.
It's totally changed.
But the weird thing about it is, I remember, this is crazy. Okay. I've watched this documentary with my son. Like I said, it had to be 100 times. Okay. And I remember 3 people in the car, Brian.
Yeah. I remember you said that. You're the only one I've ever heard say that.
Because I remember the guy, they always like suspected that the driver did it. Because there was nobody there with him. And when he made that turn to go look at the back, to look at the president.
Now he can't even make that turn because there's an extra windshield in his way.
So, yeah. And then in my timeline, his wife never climbed on the trunk. That never happened. She held his head together. Mm-hmm. And then they drove under the overpass. And then they just disappeared. So it was a completely different story than what people in the ME community are remembering.
Yeah.
Very few that remember.
But either way for you, what the story is now totally contradicts what you remember. So when the JFK one came to you, was that like it? That was slam dunk. This is definitely happening. Because for me, once I seen the Berenstain and the JFK, those aren't my 2 top ones right now, but those were the two in near the early days where I was just like, yeah, man, that's it. I mean, I know I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I can't remember the exact first one, but I know the one that had a really big impact on me, born and raised in Brooklyn. You know, you could see the Statue of Liberty. And when
that's crazy. That we could do a series of shows of like 80 videos on a playlist just about the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, that one kind of tripped me out because I remember my son going on a field trip there. I mean, you could see it when I'd leave the house. I mean, where I, you could see it all. The, and then I heard, it was on, Liberty Island, and I'm like, what the hell is Liberty Island?
Nobody's and then,
no, and then when my son went on a school field trip there, they went up to the torch.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, yeah.
And apparently the torch has been closed since what, 19?
Since it opened, since the statue opened, 1918, 1916, whenever the Black Tom was.
Yeah, no, he was on there, and my girlfriend was on there with her ex-husband, well, her husband at the time, and they took pictures from up there, and she can't find them. I'm like, Shady, you got to find them. But they took pictures from the torch. So that's another thing. Aside from Liberty Island, I don't know where Liberty Island is. I didn't know it was really in Jersey versus
New York. You're from New York.
Yes.
Yeah, and I know I'm interviewing you here, but let me just make a quick point about the Statue of Liberty from what I've been researching. I started researching with 9/11, as most people that are probably on my channel know, and that was like 2010. And I've looked at as much footage as probably anybody in the world. Like, I just absolutely – because I'm looking for CGI and everything from shadow issues, like all types of – just analyzing all the footage. And seeing the Statue of Liberty in the New York skyline was always part of that scenery, and now it's like so far across the water, it's like it doesn't even, it's not even the same visual when you look at New York. It's way out of the way. It's not even in the skyline anymore.
No, I agree. I mean, I would go on to BQE just about every day, and you could see it, and it was beautiful, and it was big, and it was, and now it's like you don't see it. You know, it just changed so much. It's just ridiculous. And you know what the funny thing about it is too, I remember when I found out about the Emmy and looking at pictures of the Statue of Liberty, the face is completely different. I remember a female, and I could visualize her face. Like, it's like right in front of me. I could see it. But the face is completely different. This Statue of Liberty looks like Elvis Presley, dude. I don't know who the hell this person is. But in my reality, and I used to collect a little Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was a woman. And
oh,
she,
I know.
Very delicate features, not the person that we have now.
No, it's ridiculous. And it's everything keeps changing from it looks like she's taken a step off the thing to the angle of the book, the angle of her arms a little different, the color under the torch now where it's gold. And it's like the size of it, it seems to be a lot shorter than it used to be. Obviously, mm-hmm. the location. I mean, it's like it seems like something happens to it every week. Like it's.
I know her torch used to be bronze. In my reality, it was bronze.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I think it's 14 karat gold. And the funny thing about it is, I told my son that now it's gold, and my son's like, "You can't put a gold statue in New York City."
To me, it was tarnished metal. It was like tarnished metal to me. That's what it looked like.
Gold now, and I think it's. Yeah. 14 karat, isn't it 14 karat overlay?
I think so, and they say it's been there since 1986. Get the F out of here. That's like 31 years ago, guy. Come on.
Being from New York, if that torch was freaking gold, I'd be going up there with a shovel, scraping that shit off and putting it in a bag and selling it if that was gold. You can't put gold in New York free for everybody.
No.
It doesn't even make sense. Go with a helicopter and start scraping some gold off there. No, it was bronze in my timeline. It wasn't gold. It wasn't.
Yeah, so I agree, the Statue of Liberty, that could, you know, I always tell people this is my top 10, that's my top 10. My friend Paul makes fun of me. He's like, dude, you got a top 10 full of like 100 Mandelas, right? And I really do. But, I mean, Statue of Liberty, that's definitely in my top 10. That's probably in my top 5. My top 3, and, you know, not to go on too long, I'll just give you my top 3 because I want to hear what yours are. My top 3 are South America and the Panama Canal, Black Tom, and C-3PO.
Really?
Yeah, C-3PO. That's slam dunk because, you know, people can deny – and they'll still deny the Mandela effect, but you don't know anybody. I mean, not only – like, you don't even find people that try and lie and say they remember him with a silver leg because it's so ridiculous. They'll just come up with excuses. Oh, you don't know. The other day somebody told me, you don't know. It's just Star Wars was digitally remastered, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, guy, but the movie's sitting in my house. Digitally remastered doesn't send waves through the air, come in here and update my movies. And the Mandela burglar didn't break in last night, switch all my movies and songs and stuff and update my stuff for me and then take off in the middle of the night and then hit up everybody else's house. The guy'd be busier than Santa Claus.
Yeah. Well,
what are your favorite? What are your biggest ones? Top 3, top 5 if you want, whatever you want to do. But let's hear your biggest ones.
Well, one was the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
The other one for me was a big one was the pyramids. That was a big one.
Oh,
I've studied them for years. Mm. The Sphinx's face, that was a big deal for me.
What about King Tut? You know, with the extra.
Oh, I've researched King Tut for years. Though it doesn't even look like him. That's not King Tut. I've studied all of them. I studied the Anunnaki. I studied all Sumerian texts and you name it. No, I don't know who that kid is, who King Tut is. I don't know which every history changed too. But I remember when all this was happening. I think the thing that tripped me out the most is that people were saying that if you owned, you know, like a video of the pyramids, that the video would supernaturally change also, you know? And that kind of tripped me out because then I like ran to my books and I'm like, oh my God, they're in different.
Because then you realize.
Yeah. And that was kind of bugged out. The one that really had the most impact on me till today was the Bible changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. Which ones? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about some of the big ones.
The big one for me, and like, I don't have a religion, you know, I believe in God, but I study a lot of religions. I study Buddhism. I study all religions. Okay. Like I said, I believe in God, but I do. I've read the Bible. I'm not going to lie. I've sat there and I read it and, you know, and the one that always stood out with me, aside from the Lord's Prayer, was the lion and the lamb. The lion shall rule.
That's the number one, baby. Number one.
When I seen that, like, you know, when you just feel like everything just get drained out of you, I was like, oh my God, this is real, you know? And then the other one was, why would you put new wine in old wine bottles? And I'm like, bottles? Bottles? It was wineskins. It was never bottles. They didn't have bottles back then. So that was another one for me.
Yeah.
That was completely profound. Completely.
Yeah. The Bible and the lion and lamb ones huge. There's so much residue on the lion and the lamb. I mean, there's monuments and statues and paintings and songs like the song from Elvis. There's so many TV shows where they've quoted it. There's preachers on video that have seen quoting it. I know that Brian, he had mirrored some videos from Child of Light's channel. And I follow Child of Light now. I like her videos a lot. And she made some really good calls about the lion and the lamb to the pastors at the church.
Yeah, I heard them.
Oh man, those calls are awesome. That guy, he just stops trying to buy himself time. Then he's backtracking after he reads, after contradicts what he said. He said he's been, you know, for 30 years, he's been reading it. And she asked him specifically, so you read with your own eyes, it was the lion and the lamb, right? Oh yeah, many times. And then he tries to say, oh, it's, you know, it's later in the verse, which it is now. It's later in the verse only. It's not, you know, and you know how people say it. Oh, you're just. Yeah.
It's like
the Queen song, you know. Oh, you're just remembering of the world from other parts of the song. No, guy, it ended in Of the World. You know, don't tell me that I know the live version from Wembley in 1985 when I was 8 years old. We didn't have YouTube and we didn't have the internet because you just sound like an idiot right now.
Right. No, there are some things that I could say, well, you know, like stupid little things, like maybe a song not having an S in it anymore or two words that are similar. I'll disregard and go, who knows, maybe I was saying the wrong thing. But you're not going to tell me that the Bible always had the word matrix in it. That the
wine Bible, skins, wine bottles, yeah.
And the Bible
that
had
word stuff.
Yeah, the woman was a whore and she likes her men hung like donkeys.
There was something in there about like Jesus in bed with another man or something now too. And how about this one? I don't think we talked about this one yet. I mean, you guys probably did because I just, you know, met up with you guys like a month or two ago. And I know this is an older one, but I haven't, I just found it myself. You know, I seen somebody's video that was probably a year old. What about how like 60% of the Bibles, at least a year ago, maybe more of them now, they changed and say Jesus hung in a tree and not from a cross.
Right. Yep. And do you know about 5 months ago, a little bit more, about 8 months ago, I would type in the online Bible and I would type in Jesus and it wasn't, not Jesus, the crucifixion wasn't referenced one time in the Bible. Not one time. I don't know if it is anymore. I haven't checked it, but it wasn't there one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, to me, I think I could deal with all the other things, but the Bible changes freak me out, like really freak me out. You know, I mean, what is it? It's a cannibalism now, you know, bring me him. I'll eat his flesh. He ate his dung and pissed it on the wall. I can't picture being in church as a kid and hearing the priest say this. Oh, he whipped out his, you know, or she likes her men hung like donkeys. I'd be like, what the hell is this, pornography? Like, no, these things weren't. It's sad. It's sad. But I honestly, in my opinion, I think that the Bible has been manipulated so much through men through the years that now it's starting to peel away and show what it originally said.
That's what I've been telling people. That's my opinion too.
Yeah, before they changed it with the control thing, you know.
I said, what if the Bible changes? What if, you know, and you know, I believe that, you know, it's like our collective consciousness, and it's possibly the creator. Maybe you don't know this, but this is what I feel. Maybe the creator is changing things to try and reach out to us because he can't directly contact us. And what if the Bible changes? Is the Bible going to be what it always was supposed to be? I've said this many times.
That's how I feel. I feel the same way because I think the Bible that we have now, I mean, it's more of a control factor. It's not true. I mean, if you read the Book of Thomas, which isn't in the Bible, or the Book of Enoch, the whole thing, I mean, it's completely different. These are things that didn't made it in. And when you listen to them, they sound like aliens. They make everything sound like interdimensional beings came here and did this and did that. And they had a good way of covering it all up. And now it's starting to show because you have all different names in the Bible now that were never there before. And they speak about those names in the Sumerian texts. And they were never in the Bible before. Now they're starting to show their face. So, you know, I think it's being peeled back. And I think that God is saying, open your eyes, no more control. You know, being controlled. That's how I feel.
Yeah, it's very possible that's what's happening. That's how I feel, too. I feel the same way.
I think collectively, like you said, I think collectively we are doing this. I think we are too,
because if you notice, like when we wake up to a few of them in a day, we kind of just feed off each other's energy, and it multiplies, and you'll get like 7, 8, 9, 10 Mandelas a day. Everybody's finding residue, and it's like it's crazy. It's like I think we're definitely causing it for the most part. You know, there might be some intervention from God, but I think that we're causing it. You know,
I don't look at this effect as a bad thing. I look at it as a positive thing. You know, and I wish people wouldn't be scared of it. I mean, it's scary to know that your reality is changing. It's not a hard pill to swallow. I mean, it's a very hard pill to swallow. Like, how do you, you know, and I think that only the really, really strong were chosen to do this.
Yeah, that's why I don't feel like it's a bad thing at all. A lot of people get really, I get freaked out. You get freaked out. Like last night, you guys were both freaked out, you and Brian, right, by the Matrix thing. You want to talk about that?
Okay. If somebody says that it was always like that, I'm going to throw a slap, you scream, and hopefully I can get away with it. Do not tell me the opening scene of The Matrix was not binary digits, which I will say is zero and ones for those who don't know, and I'm sure everybody knows. Now when you look at it, it's Japanese, and it looks like Hebrew writing. And then if you go more towards the middle of the scene, it turns into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No. It was always zeros and one. Do you know, Brian, that me, Teresa, and Brian McFarlane, we stayed 2 hours trying to look for residue for that and came up with nothing. Zero of binary.
That's crazy.
How is that possible? Well, that's a stupid thing to say. But, you know, they still trip you out when they happen. But you know what trips me out? Not the fact that it changed, that people are going, it's always been that way. That's what trips me out. I'm like, no, you're not going to make me think I'm crazy.
So, like, my opinion about the Mandela effect is, and I'll tell you why. It is affecting everybody, but it doesn't affect everybody at the same time, as we know, or the same ones at the same time, or even the same identical ones. Like, we probably agree on 90% of them, but I'm sure there's 10% we don't agree on. That's just how it goes. Usually the really aware people agree on a very high percentage, but there's some they don't agree on. So, like, I'll agree with you and Brian and Moneybags and, you know, Hidden Knowledge and, you know, all these other people that are putting out videos and stuff, right? But I won't agree on all of them. And that's just how it is. But I do think it is – it affects everybody, but some people are just oblivious to it because they haven't raised their frequency up, as you would like to say, or their consciousness. Because for instance, okay, let's just say we talk about these and people aren't perceptive to it, right? So say only like, you know, we can talk amongst, you know, there's a very small percentage, but let's even increase it and say there's 30% of us, which is a very generous number. But let's say there's 30% of us. I don't think the other 70% aren't affected, because if they weren't affected, they would all think that C-3PO always had a silver leg, and they don't. So they know it is affecting them, but they're not computing it. They're not registering it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know. You know, it's kind of weird because I look at the Mandela effect, and I remember, like I said, I've always been a seeker, just like everybody in the Emmy community. And I came across a video, which was Jacob of Israel. I didn't know this guy from home.
He's cool. I like him.
Yeah, I think he's a sweetheart. And I just looked at one, he was talking about flat earth, which is kind of weird because I was researching flat earth at the time. Yeah. And his video came up and I was watching it. And at the end of the video, he mentioned something about the Mandela effect. So I was like, oh, what is that, the Mandela effect? I was like, okay, whatever. I shut the video off. I went about my day. Next day, I went about my day. And it kept bothering me, the Mandela effect. Why would that even stick in my mind? I looked it up and that was it. I was blown away. And for 2 or 3 weeks, I was like this near the computer. I didn't sleep. I didn't eat. I didn't want to know nothing from no one. I was just so engulfed in this, you know, so it makes you wonder why people, you could stop a person in the street and say, hey, you ever hear of the Mandela effect? How many people were in JFK's car? And they're like, oh, wow. You know, that's interesting. I remember four. And then never think about it again.
Yeah. Most people are like that.
So for us, it was our alarm clock. For us, yeah. It was a wake up call. For them, not time. It's not time. And some people do get a download. But for the majority of people, I think it's just not that time. You know, our vibration is needed in this reality, okay, to change it. And maybe they're just not part of that right now, you know. Maybe we will lead the way from that for them one day. I don't know. But now it's our job. Now it's really up to us. You know, and we don't have to do anything. We just have to think positive, raise our vibration so maybe we can change what's going on in this frequency. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
I think that definitely will change what goes on in our reality. Wow, that was a lot. Where do I want to go next? Okay, we're gonna come back to the Mandela effect. We're gonna talk a lot more about it. I just want to back up for a couple more minutes. Have you looked into any of the other more common topics? Well, you mentioned you looked into flat earth. Have you looked into Apollo? Have you looked into 9/11? Have you looked into vaccines? Any of these other large topics that a lot of people look into? Have you been a part of any of those type of movements the way you're immersed in the Mandela effect now?
Every single one of them since as far as I could remember. Every really? Single one, yes. And you know, the 9/11 thing, you know, was a big thing for everybody. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, and I lived in Staten Island at the time when it happened. And I drove an ambulance, EMS. So I remember I had to go into Brooklyn. And when I was trying to get on the bridge, I noticed that all these cops were there and they closed off the bridge because the first building was hit by something. Okay. So I got out of my truck and I'm standing there and there's a bunch of people and we're all standing there and we're watching across the river. The water, we're watching, of course, and we see, you know, Statue of Liberty, whatever, and the trade centers. And we're all like just looking at each other, and all of a sudden, no plane.
No.
No plane.
No, definitely not.
Yes. See? And everybody just stood there like, oh. One girl started screaming and crying, and I was like, and I remember looking at everyone, they were just like this. Now, we didn't see a plane. I didn't know a plane hit. There was nothing in the sky, but yeah. That building was coming down. It was hit by something.
Yeah.
And then I heard that it was a plane, and I'm like, what plane?
Yeah. That so many people will just – even a lot of people that might have been there like you, they'll actually brush off that they didn't see a plane. They'll hear it on the media so much, then they'll start to think it. Also, the way that the towers were set up, so the first plane, right, it's believable that nobody's going to see it because it's totally unexpected. Nobody's looking at the towers, right? The second plane comes in across the Hudson. So with the height of the building in New York, the only people that are going to have a clear view of it are the people across the way. Now, if you're saying the plane's going 500 miles an hour, you can easily tell the people, well, you just missed it.
Okay, well, you look at it this way. New York City, you go there and it's like you have every walk from every nationality, every religion, you have from all over the world. You mean to tell me that nobody was actually taking a picture of the biggest attraction, which is the World Trade Center, the moment that plane hit? I have millions of people that were visiting. Come on, man. Come on. No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
No, you know, it's nonsense.
That was a big deal. And I remember after that happened, for a good 2 weeks, you know, I would go into my car, I'd stop my car in the morning, and there was like an inch of ash on my car. It was so sad because they put it in Great Kills.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird name to begin with, Great Kills Dump. And that's where they put all the bodies in the cars and all that stuff, and they had put them on fire. And the ash was just like all over the place, and it was really, really sad. But I always felt in my heart that didn't happen the way they said it did.
No. Not at all.
just, you know, and I looked at, I guess, this reality as, this is fucked. Sorry. But
the world is all a stage.
Yes. Well, that's what Shakespeare says, right?
And he was dead on. I mean, that's has so much relevance now still. You look at all these fake shootings, you look at the fake terror, you look at the fake politics, the fake education system, the fake medical systems, the fake media. I mean, we can go on and on. The fake music industry, right? I mean, where does the fake food?
That's very
the fake. Fake money.
That people kill themselves over.
Illusion of freedom of choice. It's all fake.
You know,
fake democracy.
I think it's disgusting when you hear somebody say, oh, I want to eat healthy and I don't want to have GMOs in my food, but I can't afford it. So basically in this reality, if you could afford organic food, then you could be more healthy because they don't poison it as much as regular food.
Yeah.
It's unheard of.
Money's become like people's god, money. They worship money.
Yeah, so basically you have to eat food that has more toxic chemicals in it than a cigarette. Okay, because you can't afford to eat organic, which organic still has pesticides and shit in it. Okay, they're not going to eliminate it completely.
No, they can just fly over your organic fields and spray it if they want, anyways.
Exactly. I'm sure they do it because you don't.
They do.
You don't. So basically, the only I think that being subjected to that kind of stuff throughout our lives, I'm sure we're immune to it. You know, and then you have to, you know, you have to raise your vibration, and you have to believe that these things will not affect you. Because in the way I think, this is just an illusion. You know, I'm made up of binary digits. You're made up of binary codes. We're not really solid. So if you're in that frame of mind that it's not going to affect you.
Like the moon.
Well, the transparent moon, you mean?
That's what I said. You said we're not really solid. I said like the moon.
Like the moon. Yeah, that's a great projection. It really is. It's very sad, though, because his face changed. It's not the same anymore.
Yeah.
But the moon is. I was looking at it with binoculars, and you get black clouds right behind it. I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, but it's 237,000 miles away.
Oh, of course.
But you can get a close up zoom on it now with a Nikon P900, which has an 83x zoom, and you can zoom in as close as you can on a telescope that you think sees trillions of miles and zooms in on stars and other galaxies. Well, that doesn't add up. That doesn't compute at all.
No, it doesn't compute. And the next thing that I know, like you're into the flat earth thing and stuff, and you know where I stand with that. To me, like I said, everything is vibration. Mm-hmm. So to me, the earth wouldn't be neither flat or round. For me, it's just a vibration.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
But, you mean to tell me that NASA can't take color photos, better photos of the moon and whatever photos they have? There's no stars. You would think. You know what I'm saying? There would be
stars. There's no satellites. There's supposedly 20,000 satellites up there. Every time you see this picture of a satellite, it's a CGI image, and there's one satellite. This should be like a bunch of traffic from all these satellites.
Right. And then just like going on Google Earth. Are you serious right now?
My God.
Google Earth is their picture of the Earth. Okay, where do you want to go? No, it's all bull crap.
People don't even realize the Google Earth, it starts with a CGI image in space, and then you zoom in, and as you go through the clouds, it goes into a transition, and then it gives you photographs from high altitude planes. It's not a satellite zooming in. You can see the transition. It's fucking ridiculous.
To me, that's got to be the biggest joke. They must be laughing at us to think.
Oh, they are laughing at us. They tell you you're living on a spinning ball upside down. You stick to it. It's crazy.
Nothing is spinning, babe. If anything, it's vibrating. Nothing is spinning. It ain't. No. I'm sorry. No, it's spinning so fast. Don't you? I don't know. Let me fly off. Oh, because there's no way gravity.
Oh, yeah. And the moon is spinning perfectly in the opposite direction that it's in sync with us, and we never see the back of it. So, no, it's just not spinning, and we're not spinning, and we're not moving. And it's really quite simple.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not going to go off on that too long because this is your interview, not mine. So, you know, 9/11 affected you a lot. What about some of the other stuff? What about all the mass shootings, which in my opinion are hoax shootings? Other people would call them false flags. I don't know where you stand, and either way it's fine. But what about all the mass shootings? What's your take on all those? And have you looked into those from Sandy Hook, Gabby Giffords, Vegas, you know, Columbine, anything like that?
You know, I don't watch them as much anymore. I actually, when any of those incidents happen, I would watch them just to see how pathetic the actors are.
Oh, it's really bad.
I'm not saying that maybe some people got hurt. Yeah, probably. I'm sure people got hurt. But it's a setup.
You shouldn't be so, I wouldn't be so sure that anybody got hurt.
I mean, you know, maybe a couple of people did get hurt. I don't know, but it was definitely a setup. Because you don't lose someone you love and be able to smile on camera. I'd like be freaking out.
Robbie Parker's the biggest. That's the picture that tells 1,000 words. That tells more than any other picture maybe ever. Even more than a NASA picture, a 9/11 picture, a Mandela residue. Okay. Robbie Parker coming out laughing after his daughter was supposedly murdered amongst 20 other classmates in that school that day is absolutely a smack in the face to reality. That's ridiculous.
But you know what, Brian? Then I ask myself when I say, why are they doing this? And then I think, well, maybe they're doing this to keep the game going, to keep the illusion of reality real. You know, you have to have good and bad, right? So if you do bad, then everybody gets engulfed in this illusion.
No, they do it to keep you in fear, because when you're in fear, it's easy to control you because you can't think with a clear head.
That's true, too. That's true. So I think better when I'm in fear, don't you? Because when I fear something, I go at it trying to make it better. And the more I fear it, the more I go at it, you know, so and get the truth. So that's not going to work on me.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're living in strange times, dude. And we're going to, you know, all the videos that everybody makes on the Mandela effect and the conspiracy things, I hope that the next generation has something, you know, if they don't destroy all.
I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the reasons I started making these videos, okay, now we know there's a lot of different people in different communities doing these types of videos. They're usually specific to one topic, though, you know, and like there's a lot of Mandela channels that are doing it. There's a lot of flat earth video people that do it. My personal goal, not my only goal, but one of my goals is I try and bridge all the communities, you know, like flat earth, 9/11, Mandela effect. And if for anybody that's listening, if you only research one or two of those, that's fine. But don't dismiss the third without giving it the respect that you know your topic needed. Because if you just listen to the bull crap people tell you about, people will tell you Mandela effect is misremembering or the flat earth, you're going to fall off an edge type of talk. It's ridiculous. You need to look into every topic, you know? And you brought up the younger generation. That was my point. Is one of the reasons I started making these videos is I see a lot of teenagers now on YouTube, particularly with Mandela effect videos, and they are freaked out. And it's just fascinating to watch, because they're just giving their honest feelings, and they're like, they know what the Mandela effect is. And I find it fascinating that, okay, for any topic, you need to put a lot of time in. The Mandela effect, you need to put a real lot of time in, because these have to be memories that you're so sure of, because all your life it was X, Y, and Z. These kids are only teenagers, and they're so sure of things that just from a few years ago. And they're making, and their videos are legit. Yeah, some of them suck, but some of the adults' videos suck too. A lot of them are really good, and some of them have like their top 10, and their stuff we would put in there. They got the Berenstain Bears, they got JFK, C-3PO, Ed McMahon. You know, they might have some other stuff like Pokemon and stuff that I wouldn't, you know, be into, but it's cool, man. And they got a lot of videos, and I try and comment on their videos when I see them. I'm like, you guys are awesome. I love you guys, and you guys are inspiration for everybody. You're not crazy. Don't listen to what anybody tells you, and keep looking.
And, you know, I think is fascinating about the Mandela effect is that it's not just things that are changing from when we were younger, you know, like Scooby-Doo and I Love Lucy. These are things for the younger generation to catch on to, like Pikachu's tail, you know, so it's kind of catering to all ages at this point. So it's trying to wake up everyone of all ages, because it's very important that the young people wake up, because like I said, they're going to take this legacy out. They're going to be the change. You understand?
Yeah.
Unless we go into a reality where nobody ages and we're happy people, then we'll all be a part of it. But you know, we're doing this for them. You know, we're up, and once you're up, you're never going back to bed. You're up.
We're doing it for mankind. You know, that's why I research all the things I do, because nobody else is going to do it for us. You can't trust the institutions that we've been, you know, we've relied on, like governments and education and all that. You can't trust the media. The media, to me, as much as everybody knows, I hate NASA or I hate the media is the number one enemy.
I don't watch television.
No, but the media also means Hollywood, video games, the media, what they saturate you with. And yeah, for me and you, we can watch something and not be indoctrinated. I still love Star Wars, but that's pushing the whole propaganda. But I can still watch a movie that's propaganda and see other things. I see it a different way than other people, you know? But right. Most people get brainwashed by that, and the media is the enemy. The media.
Yeah, you see through it.
I mean, it's a consortium. It's the media. It's the Vatican. It's the Jesuits. It's the royal families. It's the Zionist Jews. It's this, that, and the other thing. It's not one thing, but the media is that they're poisoning everybody's mind all across the world.
Maybe their point in the beginning was to keep this illusion feeling and looking real for us to experience.
No, that's exactly what it is.
But somewhere along the line, somebody tucked it and said, hey, I could do this and control people. And then I think it just spiraled from there. Because I don't think it was there, because they write about it. And you can go back to certain scriptures and stuff like that where, you know, even the Book of Thoth, the Golden Emeralds of Thoth, like he writes about how it was. And it was different. It was nice. And people got along. And everybody spoke to each other mental telepathy-wise. And people were loving and all this stuff. And what happened? You know, somebody kind of knew when somebody jacked this up. That's all I could say. Somebody jacked this up. And I understand you have to have polarity. You have to have good and bad. I get it. But not to the point where...
No, but we don't need to be manipulated, though, against that will. Listen,
I always say if I touch a flame, I know I'm going to get burned. I don't need to touch it again to learn. So this is not God trying to teach us something, I don't think, by all the negative and terrible things that are happening. This is really happening. They're really doing it. They're really doing it. And you can't let it affect you. And it's stupid to say close your eyes, but you have to, because if you don't, you lower your vibration. And if you lower your vibration, you won't have experiences and you won't get the hell out of here. Or not the hell out of here, but experience something different, which, you know, God wants us to experience. You know, he doesn't want us to do this. He doesn't want to hear people crying at night, you know, because they can't feed their children or they can't pay their rent. He doesn't. That's not what he intended for us. Granted, we probably came here to learn things, but not to suffer. We don't have to suffer all the time to get it. Got it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's how I look at it. Somebody definitely had a hand in jacking it up.
So on back to the Mandela effect a little more. Now, we all know that. Like, I'm in Facebook groups with you and I'm on Brian's show a lot, which are always on, and we all share, you know, everybody, most, I won't say everybody, most people in the Mandela Effect community are more than willing to share everything, you know. Some people have had personal Mandelas happen to them in their life. Have you had any of those?
Those are the hardest.
Have you had any?
Yes, I've had many. And I'm going to tell you something. You want something to put you in a fetal position? I have a personal Mandela effect, okay? I've had quite a few that knocked me on my ass. And, you know, I'm sitting there saying, okay, you have to calm down. And I'm like, no, that building was never there. It's right up the block from my house. I drive there every day. It can't be, you know? And you try to rationalize, you try to talk it because you feel like you're going to short circuit, you know? Not because I feel like I'm not remembering and I missed it. Because I feel like, whoa, what, you know, this is really happening kind of thing. It's really happening. And then I don't know what to do with it, you know. And I'm like, okay, just calm down. It's there. It's there. You see it. You know what's going on in the Mandela thing. You know what it's about. And just go on. And just go on. And that's what I do. But as soon as I see something that hits me personally, yeah, it throws me through a loop. It really does. But then I come back from it and I'm like, okay, it's happening. You know what I mean?
Do you live by yourself?
I do. My son pops in and out.
Now, in your personal life, how have you fared with waking people up to any of these topics discussed? 9/11, Mandela effect, vaccines, any of the stuff that you know you've been interested in that we brought up? Have you, like, I know for me, I've gotten a couple friends and I've gotten a few uncles to start looking. I got a couple friends that now know. Most people, of course, shrug it off. Have you had any success?
About 3 years ago, there was about 3 years ago, there was a couple of people that, and this was before I knew what the Mandela effect was, I try to wake up. But I wasn't quite sure, not how, but to what. Like, I didn't know what was going on, but I knew something was going to happen. You know, and I remember telling this one person, you have to wake up. You have to wake up. I'm telling you, you have to wake up. This is a dream. You're not who you are. You know, and obviously, you probably look at me like I was crazy, I'm sure. But it was just like an urgency in me. And I just felt, and then I had did the same thing to my girlfriend. And I said, something's about to change. I don't know what it is, but something's going to happen. You need to wake up and remember who you are. And then, what was that? A couple of months after that, it's like, bam. And then I knew what it was that I was trying to tell people. But yeah, they look at you like you're crazy. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like a lot of my family members, you know, I already had a falling out with my father because of Sandy Hook. He told me to lose his number and never call him again.
Very sad.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And now I kind of what I make posts, I always have it on Friends Accept. And there's a couple family members. I just don't let them see anything because it's not even worth it. It's not even worth it at this point.
No, because to them you're crazy. And to me, they're crazy.
Yeah, and I tried for many years to wake everybody up, and I still do. I mean, I do radio shows all the time, and I've been trying for years. But the stuff I talk about is more deep than the on-the-surface conspiracies type stuff. So people that aren't researchers probably aren't going to find my stuff anyway. So it's kind of geared to a different audience. So even though I'm not trying to, you know, wake all the totally asleep people up in the street, I'm kind of gearing it towards another audience. I forget what else I wanted to ask you next. Hang on one second.
You know, your Superman logo is a Mandela effect, in case nobody knows that.
I know. Why don't you tell people about the snake and the logo?
Well, now it looks like a snake.
Yeah. Yeah, I never did before. It was just an S.
Yeah.
It was just an S. Any big new Mandelas you want to bring up while we're on the topic? We probably got about 10 minutes left, and then we're going to wrap it up because I want to keep these kind of short. Before we do that, just so you guys know, this is My Awakening Episode 3 with Gloria. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, Dose of Reality Radio on therealnewsonline.com. And my link to my YouTube and website and stuff will be in the description and any links Gloria wants to leave to groups she's in or whatever. Any new Mandelas you want to get into on today, July 19th, 2018. And I have a little list if you want a little reminder of
them. There's a couple of, I mean, oh, my ear, my, I'm sorry, my nose piercing. There's a couple of them that are, yeah, like the Matrix one. To me, that was a really big one, and that's a new one. There's a lot of word changes.
What about the yellow eyes? I mean, I know we talked about this in the last week or two on Brian's show, but this is a different format. So you want to talk about the yellow eyes a little bit? I mean, that's so prevalent. We look for patterns all the time, like the connected letters, the S's moving around. Now we have yellow eyes on really big characters.
The yellow eyes, I mean, like, how could you – I mean, you look at that and you say, what's the message? There's got to be a message here. Is it saying wake up and look at the sun? It's no longer yellow. Is that one of the messages that they're trying to convey with the yellow eyes? Because it is the eyes, right? So the sun is no longer yellow. Our sun is white now. So maybe it's a message for that. But that's kind of freaky. But see, another thing with that, if you read certain scriptures, and I don't remember them off the top of my head, I actually have it written down about, I think it was back in the Sumerian, I don't know, in Egyptian times, whatever, there were certain gods, and I don't recall their names, but there were certain gods that they depicted them with yellow eyes. So that's kind of weird that these gods had yellow eyes, and now you have all these cartoon characters and weird things turning.
It's not, you know, and that's why people say, why is it always insignificant things? And I've talked about this before, and it's not, because you bring up things like South America, statue, and some people don't even know that. You bring up the human anatomy, all the geography changes, New Zealand and Australia moving, and the border of Australia having a bite out of it, Italy being bent back like this, Canada being decimated by ocean, and people just glaze over. But you tell them to recite their favorite song, or you talk about Ed McMahon working for Publishers Clearinghouse, well, everybody knows that. You know, so it's not insignificant things. But even when it is, the fact still remains these things supernaturally change and nobody switched them. It doesn't matter if it's one letter. If you know one letter of a word has changed, and it's not like Tom and Jerry with the yellow eyes or Donald Duck with the blue eyes now, and you know he didn't have them before. Yeah, it's just a cartoon character and he has blue eyes now, but it's not like he just has blue eyes from a date, you know, a few months ago going forward. It's forever.
You know, I wonder if she didn't coin the phrase Mandela effect and we weren't aware of that. If, I mean, obviously we wouldn't see all the different Mandela effects. We're only seeing it because other people are sharing their experiences with us. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, like, how would our lives be? Because I know the personal ones would be, I get a lot of the personal.
They would really freak people out with all the other ones to fall back on in the community.
Because
really be freaked out with nobody to share these stories with. That's why we do this.
Right. And the fact that, you know, the personal ones happen so often with me, it's weird to have a day where I don't have them, you know. So I would probably think I was losing it. Something was happening. You know, I wouldn't know. But, you know, and the fact that we're a community and everybody's sharing what they see and their local changes and stuff like that, it feels like it's coming at us really, really, really fast. When in fact, maybe it's still the same. You know what I'm saying? Maybe
I think it's accelerating. We're not just noticing it more. It's both. It's a combination of both. We're noticing it more and we're sharing information more, but it's not just that. It's accelerating because our energy is feeding off each other. That's my opinion. I can't prove that.
No, you're right. Because collectively we're waking each other up more and more.
Yes.
And the speeding up thing, I have to agree with that. It is speeding up in the sense where I feel it in my own body where, you know, I feel like somebody switched night and day, you know, like I could sleep all day long and I can't keep my eyes open. And I, night comes 7 o'clock, I'm up, I'm ready to go. And I'm up all night. And I was never like that. So I feel like the day and night is completely changed and everything is speeding up. It's not a 24-hour day anymore. For me, it feels like maybe a 16-hour day, you know, going very fast. So, yeah. I mean, I just feel bad for a lot of the new people coming into this because, you know, when we started out, we had a few things to go by, you know.
Yeah.
New cup of soups and, you know, now it's like.
Oh, that one bothers the shit out of me.
Everybody bought those, right? Everybody bought those.
You know, some people lived off those for years when you were broke.
That's right, you know. But now they're coming into a whole different thing where, I mean, the continents are changing and people are disappearing. I mean, like millions of people. Where are they going? You know, what the hell's happening? It's going to be hard for them. And I hope that they do reach out and I hope they do watch these videos and know that it's okay. You know, especially the younger people. Because that's
they're learning. They know the younger people, as much as they have their faces glued to the screen and they're always playing video games and outside playing sports. We know the whole rah, rah, rah. But a lot of them are very perceptive to changes like that. They're very smart, and especially when it comes to looking through for things on the internet and stuff like that. They were brought up with the internet. They didn't know about having to look through libraries and learning the internet. That's part of the, you know.
And that's the next generation, which are called the Indigo Children. So we're actually helping them out. And maybe the more kids that wake up, the more we could raise this vibration and start experiencing a different thing where nobody gets sick and nobody, you know, everybody lives happy and has a great experience. And then we go home and do it all over again. You know, where the next time we go into a different reality and have a different experience, we remember what it's all about, like Jesus did when he came and he tried to explain, you know, everything to us and how it was, and open your eyes and wake up, man, he would say, you know. So maybe it's important that we do this so when we do reincarnate or decide to have another experience, we'll remember this. We'll remember what we are and where we come from, and we can have a different kind of
Yeah, because this isn't it. You know what I mean? This is not the end of it.
This is something that needed to be fixed, and that's why we're here.
Yeah.
I think it's getting out of control.
So we're gonna have to wrap it up in about five minutes or so. What is obviously the right now your current topic is the Mandela effect. So we could say you're in the Mandela effect movement, or however people want to word it. What are some of your goals for being in this movement, or where you would like to see it go? How you would like to see people act? What do you want to see happen from what we're doing?
I think that right now it's a joint consciousness that we are creating the good and the bad right now. And if you're living in fear, or if you're just an angry person, you're changing the vibration of this earth. You're changing it. And I think that if you can change that around and start thinking positive, no matter how hard it is, don't take it so serious. Don't take life so serious. It's okay if he cut you off, or if just let it go and change your vibration so we could change the vibration of this earth. And if we could change the vibration of this earth, we will start to experience a different reality. And I think that's how it works, because vibration is everything. And the way we react to it changes that frequency. It changes the frequency. We know this. It's just a matter of, and it's not going to take everybody to do it. It could take very little.
No, I'm so glad you said that. That's the point I always make to people. Like, we don't have to wake up, you know, 80, 90% of people to this. If we get people to 30, 40%, that's the tipping point. It doesn't even have to get halfway. You get 30% of people to realize this is going on. It's going to shake up everything from people's faith in science and faith in government. It's going to change their views on religion. I mean, it's going to shake up the whole world. Everything is going to change.
We could change it. We could definitely. And like I said, everything is frequency. We can get rid of all the negativity and the people who are negative with it, where they don't exist in our reality anymore. You know, that's what I'm hoping for. And I'm really hoping it could be that way, you know, because I'm tired of playing this game. I'm tired of, you know, the hurting and watching people suffer. And, you know, I try to live positive whenever I can. And hopefully that vibration will change my experience Maybe it's an individual thing. Maybe it's a personal thing. I don't know. You know, maybe we don't have to do it collectively. I don't know. But I do it. I do it. Whether it helps everybody else or just helps me to experience different things. That's where I'm at.
Good stuff. Well, you know what? We're at 55 minutes now. I want to keep these under an hour. So I'm going to close it out. I want to thank you for coming on. And any links you want to tell people about, we'll leave the links in, but you want to tell people about any groups you're in or any ways to reach you?
Yeah, we actually, I have a YouTube, but it's I don't even go on it.
Okay. We can link that in the description.
Yeah, Glow 13, it's not important. I have followers. I don't even know who they are. I don't even look at it. But, yeah, you can go to Teresa Lynch. She has a Facebook page called Reality Residue Hunter. And Ahmed is there. And you're a moderator, are you? I don't know.
No, not yet.
I have to put you on there when I get back in. I thought you, I assumed you were.
But, yeah, no, Dawn had asked me if I wanted to be. I told her sure, but that was just a day or two ago.
They forgot.
So, yeah, we'll leave that link. And there's a lot of good people now. I'm in there. Yeah, we're all in there. So there's a lot of good residue in there from a lot of people. Yeah. I'll link that in the description. And anybody that's listening to this, some of you guys are going to be listening to my archive on my website at therealnewsonline.com. So you're not going to see all the links in the description and all that. So this show will be in the radio archive, as are all my shows for the last 8 years, all different topics, all labeled by guest content. And these My Awakening ones will be mixed in, you know, in order by the date. But I also have two playlists on YouTube. One is the Dose of Reality Radio playlist with this, and all my regular shows will be. And there is one playlist just for these My Awakening videos. So if they grab you and you want to see different ones, we now have three of them. I'm doing another one tomorrow. And I have, I think, two more planned for next week. So hopefully the list will be built up quick. I want to give a shout out to Brian McFarland for helping me get this video out on the air. And for being kind enough to let me on his show the last basically month straight every Friday. So that's been really good. Shout out to everybody, to everybody that's come on my show, to my co-host James Sloan, to everybody in my Facebook group. My Facebook group will be linked down below, therealnewsonline.com. Any of my contact information, I'm not going to read it all out now because we're all against the clock. But thank you again, Gloria, for coming on.
Thank you. God bless everybody.
Thank you. This has been My Awakening, Episode 3. Interview with Gloria, interviewed by Brian Stavely of therealnewsonline.com. Thank you, everybody. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel. I got a lot of content, and it's not just Mandela Effect. It's all sorts of topics.
Also, I'm a reality residue hunter. If somebody wants to do an interview, can't you?
Yeah. I just have a few already lined up. I don't want to just randomly put it out there because then all types of people will be asking.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Brian McFarland. Thank you. We love you.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Brian.
Yes. Hey, sorry. Thank you. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Was there a chat or no? Because I didn't see anything.
Yeah, the chat was up.
How many people were talking?